Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, welcome to WAMRDB Atlanta Mix Radio. I want you guys to sit back for a moment here. It's been really interesting. We got through the whole inauguration and the country still standing, and I want everybody to just take a breath for a moment. Just really interesting situation going on here. And just want to let everybody know that basically I'm talking with a very good friend of mine, Marlene Dow. They've had a tremendous amount of conversation on Facebook, and I'm like, Marlene, let's just talk about what's going on and what's happening. I mean, it's been a real, real touchy type of thing, and I can only understand
it has
people.
For a while. It has. It has.
I'm just intrigued about the whole discussion that's taking place. You tickled me so bad. You said you looked up and half your girlfriends was in all over the country, scattered.
Yeah, well, most of them had gone to D.C. to protest, and I'm like, what for? What are you protesting? What the deal? So that's what started it all.
Well, you got some interesting people that's been on your Facebook.
Yes.
I weighed in on some stuff that I thought it was very profound. I like what you said. You said you were talking to somebody, and I think they were upset about the fact that your comments were that you don't support the Women's March and you don't feel like you're a second class citizen because you are a woman. And then you went on into about, you do not feel my voice is not heard because it is. You already, I mean,
what?
Let's back up. First of all, tell my listeners who you are and what your profession is and what you do. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'm a country girl from Nowhereville in Fayetteville, Arkansas, really. grew up on a cattle farm. And, working my butt off my whole life. I was married to a Razorback football player who went on and played professional football back in the day. This was in the 70s. And then we divorced. He left me with three little kids. And actually, the judge fixed it where he didn't have to pay me any child support. So I raised three kids without a dime child support. Now then, that oldest child is 40. One and 36 and 32. So I raised three kids, no child support, work sometimes four jobs just to stay afloat. And it was nothing to come home and have the utilities turned off or no food in the refrigerator and whatever. So I've been in that welfare line because I had to. I know exactly how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
It's very demeaning. There's nothing worse than having to beg for your children. I mean, it's just horrible. And society does that to you for a reason. I mean, you know, they don't want to give it up if they don't have to. And so with that said, after they left home, I went back to school. I wound up getting an undergrad degree at the University of South Carolina in business management and history, because I couldn't decide which one. And then I did a master's in history at Winthrop University in South Carolina, and I did a master's in history, education, and curriculum specialties and counseling at Columbia University, and then I made a PhD at Columbia University. And for a living, I'm a lobbyist, but I do anything from negotiating peace contracts to economic development advisory for governments and councils around the world. So that's how I make my living. I'm just recently divorced again. This is my my second husband died, so this is my third marriage that I got a divorce from. But so I know what life is like. I didn't just come up off the turnip truck yesterday, as my grandma used to say. So life is hard.
Yeah, that's a long life, and I think I wanted people to understand that because based on what's been posted on Facebook, you've been able in the last 6 months to travel to the Middle East, to travel to China, Saudi Arabia. And you mentioned, the choices that you make. You can do that, and people have to become responsible for themselves. And you've been talking to some of your friends. Interesting lady that you mentioned. She mentioned, let's see what happens in 2018, right?
Yes. She, a girlfriend.
When we talked about the just the whole thing, you said she was a very astute woman, and
you all
have been back and forth about this march.
She's an African American in Dallas. She's a manager for Walmart. We played on the same high school basketball team. We've remained friends for 45 years. She was saying, when I couldn't understand what the marching thing was all about. So one of my friends in Northwest Arkansas, Missy McCutcheon, if you're listening, she's an attorney for the city of Fayetteville, actually. And she said, well, Marlene, they're marching, from my perspective, what I understand, they're marching to argue for the seats, 33 seats, Senate and House that are coming up in November 2018. And I said, well, that makes sense. But if you're marching for that, you're way early. If you're marching because Hillary didn't win, you're too late. So the timing makes no sense. And the waste of resources that have been used for the march makes even less sense to me. I'm all about the right to assembly, the right to protest. If you don't like it, you better get up off your honey and do something about it. It's nobody else's responsibility. But I think timing is extremely important. I think using your resources are crucial. I think involving those that are going to have a voice is very important. But this march makes no sense to me, none. So that's my perspective on that.
But the thing about it is you had – it blew my mind what you said about the circumstances Karima, why do you feel that these women come over here to the United States?
Right. They come here because of the poor conditions of where they're at. And in all fairness, Karima, I think I mentioned this to you earlier, I don't know that I could really have a clear perspective that I've not just returned home from international travel. But I can tell you the one thing I can say that I know I have here in the U.S. that other countries, women do not have, is a voice. While I do appreciate political correctness, I think it's important that people know that you are offending them in your verbiage. I think that's important. You should know. It doesn't mean it can always be adhered to, but I think people should be aware of that. At the same time, it's almost a way to limit your structure of opportunity in your First Amendment rights. And the first time you give up your First Amendment right, you're not getting it back. It's over. So the First Amendment rights serve so many purposes. And in this case, with political correctness, it's been about social guilt, really, is what it's been about. And while I can agree there does need to be some social guilt. I'll be the first to agree with that. But, I'll be honest with you, Karima. In some parts of the country, it's offensive if you call someone African-American. They want to be called a Black American or Black or American. They don't want to be called African-American. Or if you call someone an Asian American or an American Indian or an Inuit, whatever. So with those things said, I think that there does need to be social awareness. That part I can agree with in a heartbeat. But the rest of it, you have to be, you can't be so sensitive that you inhibit anyone else's First Amendment right. Because First Amendment is really important. So while I might complain about I don't understand the march, I completely, bow to the First Amendment right to march. I completely bow to the ability to assembly and voice your opinions and your complaints. I completely bow to that. I just think it was not necessarily used wisely. That's my only perspective there. It offends me that somehow I'm not much of a woman if I didn't join in that march or I didn't join into that argument. First of all, nobody else gets to speak for me. Madonna, you're a great artist, but darling, don't ever try to speak for me. You're not qualified. Same with Ashley Judd. many others. I admire your voice, but don't think for one second you're speaking for me because you are not. You're not qualified. You're sure not as educated as I am, and you sure as hell did not get my permission. So let's get that straight right now. With that said, I admire your ability to speak your mind, but don't look down your nose at me because I don't side with you or because I don't go along with your argument. You don't get that opportunity. I'm not giving you that power, and I'm declaring that, openly here on your show, Karima, that my voice is my voice.
And I think it's important that people understand that when you're talking about, all in the cities, women, marching, kind of
right.
Like I said, the 70. I said, I hope they didn't start burning bras. I mean,
we've seen that before.
Not really. Oh my God. But I know this sounds bad, and I'm hoping people don't take it too personal. But you had a choice to elect who you wanted, and I made a rough comment. It might have sounded wrong or whatever, but. You could have women are catty, they are jealous hearted. They chose to either not vote or vote their conscience. And this is who you have in front. So, you had a choice. You had a choice to choose. This is America. It's not like you didn't have a choice. You did have a choice. And
exactly.
So now you're upset. Because you could have brought up a lot of stuff. I mean, people could have brought up a lot of stuff. With, now you want to bring up all of this man's, dirt.
Misgiving. Yeah.
You should have did it then. If you were gonna fight dirty all the way. My thing. That's all I'm saying. Now you're mad. Now you're mad because, you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
Well,
here's
the thing I think we're all missing. One, we've all said and done things we regret. I know I have. And the problem with running for office is it's there for the whole world to watch for the rest of your life. There is no forgiveness in media, really. I mean, when you get right down to it, it doesn't exist because hate lasts forever. Really, and we've seen that with Hillary, we've seen that with Bill Clinton, we've seen it with Bernie, we've seen it with a lot of different people. So with that said, where's the line in the sand that says, okay, that was something I did 20 years ago, it was stupid, I shouldn't have done it, I wish I wouldn't have done it, I can't take it back now, but I shouldn't have done it. And I'm hoping everybody will get past that. I know for a fact I heard that come out of Donald Trump's mouth more than once. But if I'm going to forgive him, I've got to forgive Hillary, and I've got to forgive Bill. Anyone that asks for forgiveness, I've got to give them that forgiveness, or I wind up wearing it. And I'm sorry, it's not worth it. So I just think, I see a lot of people on social media saying ugly, ugly things, that repeating things that Donald Trump said or Hillary Clinton said or Bill Clinton's done. You know, when do you let bygones be bygones and move on? And the media is really good at not letting that happen. Now, sometimes that's good. Sometimes we need to, we need that there as a reminder. I'd be the first to admit it. However, though, it isn't something that should last forever. And, you know, the majority of this country that did vote voted to forgive Donald Trump for his statement. So rehashing those statements in an anger and violent way and promoting violence and anger and hatred for the sake of promoting hatred, anger, and violence is just not a good thing in any country. I don't care what country you're talking about. So as a result of being, you know, across international waters recently and then coming back home, I can really see some big differences that I think I missed prior to being overseas. And at the same time, I can honestly say there are a lot of things that I really miss about Europe. For instance, when I left here, everyone kept saying to me, oh, it's such a dangerous place. And I'm thinking, well, I was there 16 years ago for a long time, and it wasn't that bad. So I don't understand why it's so dangerous now. And I got there, and it's not. I have to tell you, London is probably the safest city I have felt in a long time. And the masses are literally toe-to-toe every day. And I was out with some of my Iranian girlfriends. Some wore the headdress, some did not. I was out with some of my Iraqi female girlfriends. We went out to dinner and did a social gatherings together. And I was out with some natives of the UK. I mean, wonderful people, some people from Ireland, Scotland. My point is that your environment isn't safe as you make it. And if you're promoting hate, anger, and violence, you're creating an environment that's unsafe for yourself, whether you want it to be or not.
Absolutely. Well, exactly. And that's what, you know, I remember when you went over there, I was so concerned for you because I said, oh, my God, you're going where? And I just knew that they were going to have you, like, on TV because they were going to make you cover your head. I was like, oh, my God, they're about to get Marlene because I can see you now. I'm not covering my head.
No.
What are you talking about?
When I'm in Rome, I answer to the Roman emperor. I'm sorry, but that's the rule for the game. If you cannot go to their country and you cannot honor their way, then keep your butt at home in the country where you belong. But now, when I'm in your house, I'm going to honor your rules. I don't care who you are, if I like them or not, I'm going to honor your rules. That's the way to play. But you're right. You know me. If I'm not in the mood to wear something, it's 110 degrees, I'm not wearing a black weave. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I have hot flashes as it is, right? No way. Ain't no way. But now, if I'm in your home and we're going to sit down and eat dinner and you ask me to wear that, I will do it. I will always honor your home and your ways. I'm not a disrespectful person. I was raised better than that. And with my mother being Jewish and the only Jew in Northwest Arkansas for 65 years, I was taught very early about multicultural, environment. So with that said, you had serious fear and concern, and I did too. But I never felt uncomfortable. I was never forced to do anything I didn't want to do. I was never held hostage in any way, shape, or form. And I was in some very serious debates and arguments on very serious world peace issues. I mean, it was a very difficult environment. But people were rational. People kept their head. People realized we were looking out for the welfare of others that were not in the room. And we all wanted to twist it along, really, at the end of the day. We all wanted to be able to share what we could afford to share without being terribly inconvenienced or done without in our own home, our own family environment. And so I think that's, you know, it's just a place of mutual respect is where you start. If you start there and you function there, you're going to be safe probably no matter where you're at.
Let me ask you a question. I want to jump
sure.
back into something. Now, you mentioned, you said, I do not blame my circumstances or problems on any other than my own choice. You said Saudi Arabia, women can't drive. They have no rights. They must be always covered. China and India, what did you say? Infanticide on baby girls?
It's a common practice for them to kill baby girls because the boys are how they survive. The problem with that concept is this.
Let me just finish here. You said Afghanistan says unequal education rights. You said the Democratic Republic of Congo, where rapes are brutal and women are left to die or HIV infected and left in the care for children alone, and Mali, where women cannot escape the torture of genital mutilation, and Pakistan, in tribal areas where women are gang raped to pay for men's crime. In Guatemala, the impoverished female underclass of Guatemala faces domestic violence, rape, and the second highest rate of HIV and AIDS after Sub-Sahara Africa. And then an epidemic of gruesome unsolved murders has left hundreds of women dead, some of their bodies left with hate messages, or the 7-year-old girls being sold or married off to 60-year-old men, or the millions of women that are sold and bought. And here we are in America protesting what? I'm just reading what you had, you know, shared with your friends.
What?
I mean, this is why I said what I said. We have to start thinking about getting down to real business. The petty stuff needs to go away. Like you said, people are forgiving each other. If everybody falls short, all right.
Yes.
Now, but this is real serious. Why are we not focused on these horrific things that are going on
of women? Yes. Well, first of all, let me point one thing out. Even in the U.S., a woman alone is an unsafe environment, and I don't care where you're at, and I don't care what you're talking about. And and women are usually harder on other women than they are on men, which really upsets me. You know, Karima, you and I can be, I think you would admit, you and I have about as end of the spectrum of opposites of opinion about a lot of things. Would you not agree? You and
I, always come together because we got a lot of sense, and I like to listen to
you. But overall, we start out from different places, you and I. Would you not agree?
We do.
But
yes,
you and I never had a fight. You and I never said an ugly word to each other. You and I never set out to hurt one another, ever.
Because you know my mama.
I know
my mama.
You scare me more than that tonight. That's right. With that said, though, I would never allow anyone to say anything offensive to you or about you in my presence. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to know that. And I know you would do the same for me. With that said, there are many women who would take that as an opportunity to kick you while you're down. And that is not civilization. That is barbarism. And that is a sign of an uncivilized society. We know how civilized a society is by how they treat their weak, their firm, their elderly, and their children. And women are the weaker sex most of the time, 90% of the time, especially if they have children. And so if we don't look out for each other, how can we expect a man to look out for us? You know that as well as I do. And in other countries,
Absolutely, I agree. I agree, and I'm taken back by the whole thing, to be quite honest with you, because you know we have a new. I mean, look at all the things that you brought up about how real women in other countries
have to live.
Just victimized.
Every
I mean,
every day
they
every
were bearing
day.
Children. But we're talking about today, you guys. I'm on here with Marlene Dow. You guys can call in at 516-387-1251. This is WMRDB on 1420 AM. We're talking about after the march. We're talking about the reason why they marched. We're also trying to discuss from just listening to or reading some of the posts from Facebook, some of your friends who were discussing the march and those who are flying back in from the march. Kind of reminds me,
right.
I need to go Uber then if everybody's flying back in. But but it, I mean, we're at a turning point in America as women.
Yes.
We are. Do you agree?
I agree. Yes, definitely. And the snide comments against Melania Trump. I mean, I don't get it. You know, she's too damn skinny for my taste too. But God bless her. I mean, you know, she's where she is. I honor that. I mean, I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm jealous. I'd be honest with you. I'd love to be that thin and have that kind of money.
What are they talking about? I see this. She's forced to confess.
She's, you know, yeah, to me, the fact that she did do a layout on Penthouse, a nude layout, that's women's rights, girls. That's feminism at its best. And she is the first lady today. Thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Bible. I mean, really. So that's the kind of stuff that I don't get. And then I heard of another incident where a woman was pregnant and was not protesting in the march, and other women found her and kicked her and beat her to death, pregnant, because she wouldn't join the female march. Now, this is insanity.
Now, where did you hear that at? Where was this at?
It was on Facebook. I read that on Facebook. And
okay.
That makes me sick. I mean, that just makes me sick. So, look, you'll never be any more weak in your life. Barbaric individuals, clearly. Animal, gang, street mindset. That's who does that. You'll never be at your weakest point than you are when you're pregnant. I promise you. That is the weakest point any woman ever comes to. Ever. And to do that to another woman, it's the most sadistic thing I've ever heard of in my life. It makes me sick. So, we are at a turning point, Karina. We have to hold each other up. We have to hold each other accountable to better and bigger and moving forward. Stop accentuating barbarianism. Stop allowing people, women around the world to be mutilated and be brainwashed into thinking that mutilation is okay or infanticide is okay. It's not okay to kill babies, ever.
No, it's not. It's never been okay to do any of that. But let me ask you one serious question. Why has the United States not reacted to those atrocities?
I think, of all these different
presidents.
In the U.S.'s defense, I mean, because I love my country. I'm a patriot to the core. I know you are too, Karina. I think we try so hard to entertain the idea of other cultures and their ways that we bend over backwards sometimes and ignore, you know, the most obvious, disgusting things that we know are going on. I can assure you, you can go to some neighborhood in the U.S. and empathy is practiced right now because there are so many international people from a particular area of the world that have moved into that neighborhood, and they're going to keep their old ways. You're not going to breed those old ways out of that neighborhood for two generations. It takes three generations to really have an American. That's a proven scientific fact. With that said, those communities still have to practice some of those old ways. And all of us that came to this country, unless you were Native American, and even then, came up with some of those old country ways in your community. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whether it was incest. Whether it was incest or multiple marriages, or whether it was children out of wedlock or whatever. And it's always the weakest that pays the biggest price. The weakest link always pays the biggest price. And any country, any organization, any event is only as good as its weakest link, no matter what. So if you fix the weakest link, you will fix 90% of the problems around the world. And I have to give that to Donald Trump. He is trying to go to the weakest link and empower the weakest link. He might not be doing it the way we'd all like for him to do it, but at least he's acknowledging it. I have to give it to President Obama for supporting President Trump in that effort and trying to help it get there. I really got to give it to both of them.
That's exactly what I was saying. My thing was, I was so taken back and so emotional watching the transfer of power being so smooth and nobody understands how that makes a person. We're all connected. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers and sisters in faith and all of that. But we can argue and we can fight.
Yeah.
But to be able to watch him hug Michelle, talk to President Obama, and if nothing else, the best show in the world was showing that we were united and that our transition of power was what was most important, no matter what other people say about the Russians did that or Satan did that or whatever the case may be. Yesterday or Friday's transition of power just was wonderful. It was a wonderful act of our system of government.
It is. And this country, just think about it. We get to coronate a king or queen, kind of. I mean, we initiate a new president, but same thing as coronation. Every four or 8 years. We're the only country in the world that does that in a majestically smooth transitional fashion. I mean, think about it. Queen Elizabeth, she's getting on up there in age. You think there ain't squabbling going on over whether or not Charles and Camilla will be the next king and queen, or whether it'll be, William and Kate? I mean, of course there is. I can tell you from when I was in Saudi Arabia and the king of Saudi passed away while I was there. It was not a guaranteed smooth transition. It was not. It wound up being a smooth transition, but it was not a guaranteed smooth transition. So what we have going on in this country is an amazing and an impressive thing. And we show our civilization to the rest of the world by how we handle our majestic event. That was a majestic event. And we have to continue to hold up the tradition of majestic transfer in a noble and honorable way. And that was my biggest problem with allowing our march.
Okay, but it's like it's a double-edged sword. If you tell me what that means, that I don't understand that part. Allowing the march, that was a conflict of the transition. Hello, Marlene. All right, you guys, you listen to Marlene Dow.
You can call in 516-387-1251. I see we got Marlene back. Marlene, you're back with us.
Okay, let's do this.
Can you give me a moment to take a break and run a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Marlene Dial, WMRDD, on 1420 here on Sunday, right after the march. Women burning bras and everything. I don't know.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so five tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's 12 bucks, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WAMRDB on 1420 and 1430 AM. We are a multicultural station bringing you national exposure on WAMRDB and WATB 1420 Atlanta. Me, I'm the next level, and and I'll be hosting a show on Tuesday nights from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tune in and get educated, elevated, and stimulated.
Guys, welcome back to WMRDB on 1420 AM, talking with Marlene Dow, right after the march, right after the inauguration. We're all still here. Oh, my God. I don't know what to
the
say.
The world did blow up.
It did blow up. I had to go to the doctor, and everybody was at the hospital. All the doctors were there. All the nurses were there. The parking lots were full. I think the hype in the media making people, elderly people, afraid and running up people's blood pressure and folks, you know, I just want to focus on this march and the transition of power and the fact that, you know, I just was taken back, you know, when I was looking on Facebook and listening to your conversation where somebody said that you should be a disgrace as a woman, and because you didn't support the march. You know, who said that? What were they talking about?
I think that sometimes, unintentionally, situations like this are driven by peer pressure. I mean, you got to admit, even at our age, there's peer pressure. It's not just kids in school that go through peer pressure. And I don't have anything against people that can go march, but I sure couldn't find my effort and my money into it. I mean, it just didn't have clear enough objective for me. And, you know, somebody wants to badmouth me for not going, well, that's your right, but it's also my right to defend myself to say, you don't get to do that. You know, so people will only have as much power as you let them have. I just choose not
right.
to let people have power. I just choose not to let anyone have that kind of power over me. And I think a lot of, like, for instance, that, like you were talking about with the media, I saw, I think it was on CBS Friday morning after the inauguration on Thursday. No, it was Saturday morning. Excuse me. The inauguration was Friday. They had a special on about little kids in the school. And we're talking like first and kindergartners. Like, what do you think is going to happen after Donald Trump becomes president? Well, little kids are like, I'm scared. I don't know what to think. I'm afraid. And I'm thinking to myself,
who are they listening to?
What is wrong with this? You know, what are these parents telling these kids? And why are these children afraid? What are they afraid of?
Listen to their mamas?
And then even CBS to put it on national television. I mean, it's to me, it's the dumbing down of our society. And that's sad. We don't need that kind of dumbing down. We need to lift each other up. We don't need to be tearing each other down. So I was very disappointed in that Saturday morning segment. There's just no excuse for that.
I just can't believe that. That's just. You know, we look at some things. Like, for instance, you know, there's a little kid. They already got enough pressure on them being little kids.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you think about the conscious thoughts that they have about their country and the patriotism that's leaving, you know, that it's not there. You know, when I was a little kid, I was proud to be an American. You know what I mean? I love the fact we could put our hand over our chest and stand by the flag and say our pledge of allegiance to the flag. We're going backwards. We're going backwards.
I'm still quite honored by that. And I will do it. You know, I'm sorry. But you know, here's the reality of life. In order to build somebody else up, you've got to let somebody else go. I mean, there's only enough room and energy in a day and a time to build something up. And I think in the America's efforts to try to be encompassing of different, back to that argument of more, people coming to our country, somewhere in there we had to give up our own identity to include them. Or that's
right.
The concept we've been taught. The concept we've been guilted into thinking we have to give up our identity in exchange for those coming here. That could not be further from the truth, number one. Because just think about it. If they try to make the argument that they're making under our roof in their own countries, how long do you think they'd be breathing?
Right.
They wouldn't.
Right.
And that's the reason they come to you.
Because they have the right to not what?
Well, they don't have that voice there. We don't mind them having a voice here. They don't get to bring their identity at our expense. We get to keep our identity.
I've heard that before.
Them too. Yeah, we get to.
I've heard that. I've heard that. And I agree.
I agree.
It
would be a shame to be an American. No, thank you. No, ma'am. Not going to be, ever. If your country was so great and your ways was so great, then take your ways and go back where you came from. I'll buy you a one-way ticket. I'll pay for you to go on the condition you never come back.
Oh, you got my spine hurting.
Right now, you can go, but don't come back. But if you're going to stay here, then you're going to honor my identity because I gave you refuge when your own country wouldn't even hear what you had to say. So don't think it needed to strip my identity for yours. It doesn't work that way.
Let's finish the patriotism part. There were dozens of Democratic lawmakers that boycotted the inauguration. Right.
Yeah.
What does that say?
I mean, that's their choice. Well, that's their choice, though, Prima. I might not like it. I don't think it does our country good, but that's their option. The thing that bothers me about what I did see was so-and-so's not going to be coming to play at the inauguration when they weren't even asked to come to play at the inauguration. It's, again, another...
Are you lying?
No, I'm serious. That happened a lot. There were several of the designers that designed for Michelle Obama that said they would not design for Melania Trump. Melania didn't ask them to design for her. So it was a moot point. And there was no point in bringing that out. It was just another way to position a rip. And there's no sense in that. There's just not any. Let's face it. What looks good on Michelle probably isn't going to look good on Melania anyway, and vice versa. They're totally two different people. So, you know, what...
Your phone's breaking up a little bit, Marlene.
Oh, I'm sorry, girl. Okay, is that better?
Your phone's breaking up.
Is that better?
Just continue to talk. Yeah, it is.
Well, I was just saying what looks good on one probably isn't going to look good on the other anyway. But isn't that what this country is about? Options, choices. We're not all wearing black and white for a reason, because we're not all black and white. We got colors in there. And the colors are what makes everything beautiful, including the black and white. So with that said, I think that we've got to go back to, look, I'm not real crazy about Mother Republic either. Mother Republic was kind of an ad campaign that the founding fathers put together so that the United States of America would actually be a country. Because prior to that, think about it, we were 25 countries in one place. We were not really an American country. So Mother Republic, and that was the whole point of the Betsy Ross flag and the whole nine yards. It was not necessarily a really great thing because it was an ad campaign. It was kind of forced down the throats of the country people that came from other countries to the U.S. But at the same time, we had to have an identity. We had to become the United States of America, an independent, standalone group. We had to have an identity. We had to have a tag. We had to have, unfortunately, some stereotypes. We had to have some foundation. And that ad campaign that Mother Republic gave to us was exactly how we became the United States of America. Did we do it at the expense of some African traditions? Yes. Did we do it at the expense of some Italian traditions? Yes. Did we do it at the expense of some other country traditions. Yes, but we had to have our own tradition first in order to be a country. And that is what I see as the problem with the march. The march got lost in what? And what did it? What was the overarching point of the march?
I still don't understand it.
Women can get together. I mean, that happens in a church every Sunday and in a bar every Saturday night. So what? You know, what did we get
accomplished?
What did we get? I'm not.
You know, I like what you said about the park. You said, look at the type of money that they're going to have to spend to clean up all four of those major cities, right? And
let me tell you
the violence.
All of my girlfriends that marched are all concerned about their carbon footprint, okay? I honor that. I respect that. But every one of them left 100,000 pieces of trash on the streets of Washington, D.C. And they just blew that carbon footprint right out the damn window for the next year and a half. So I don't want to hear any more of their crap about my aluminum Diet Coke can, because you threw that argument away when you went to Washington, D.C. and wasted all that paper and flyers and signs and all that trash you left in Washington, D.C. I'm sorry.
And in New York, in L.A., in Chicago.
Oh, in New York, in L.A.
I mean,
right. Not just D.C., but yeah, right, exactly.
And
exactly.
It makes no sense to me. And the thing about it is you got people and you got little kids that are starving. You know what I mean?
I know.
That need clothes
and
books
to,
for school. And you're going
to
spend this type of money.
It's
a waste of money.
A flight to D.C.
And resources.
And a hotel. And food. And you had to have new pair of shoes to wear. And, you know, I mean, come on.
You got a new pair of shoes.
I'm lost. I'm so lost. And let's face it. They had to be Skechers or they had to be SAS because you're going to walk on your feet for the next 10 hours. I mean, come on, really? You know, so my point is like you. I don't see the benefits. The only benefit, let's say this. Let's just say some of the protesters were paid. If they were paid,
what? Yeah.
Then I'll go with that because it's a job. That means they're going to take that money, go back home, buy that extra gallon of milk, and buy Junior that new pair of shoes because his dadgum feet grew 3 inches last month. You know, and so I'm all about that. If you got paid to go protest, I can live with that. But you sold your opinion. You sold your opinion. How much is your opinion for sale? You lost your validity of your opinion when you sold it out to get paid to protest. So, I mean, it's a catch-22. And you've got to look in the mirror. And you've got to be asking yourself, what am I really doing here? And did you spend more money than it was worth? Because think if you got a round-trip ticket up there, that's at least $2,000. Maybe you got lucky and you got for $1,000. But there were 40 women on that plane with you, so that's $40,000. And then the hotel, and then the food. So there's no way you went and marched in D.C. or L.A. or New York City or any of those other states for less than probably $5,000. You couldn't do it. Now, I ask you, ladies, how much of that $5,000 could you have used at home for your children?
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
How
That's
much?
Exactly right. And
or
help another kid, help another child.
Or another family. Another family. Exactly. So that's
Makes
all
no
I'm
sense.
Saying. It has no overarching conclusion that made it worth it, except it was just mass confusion and mass craziness. So, you know, if it was about the argument for the 33 seats coming out of 2018, fine. But why don't you wait until it's a little closer to the event? I might get on board with you then. But right now, you got matters at home you need to be handling. And they ain't in D.C. with a bunch of other girlfriends. Or in
but
New York
you know,
City,
I did not, until you just said that, I did not know that they were paying protesters.
Oh, yeah.
They arrested, I see that they were doing some ads in dozens of cities to offer to pay protesters up to $2,500 to disrupt.
One of my cousins is an actress. She's a supporting actress. And there was a casting call through her agent for protesters for women between the ages of 9 and 89. I swear to God. Now, this is insane because the agents got probably most of them before the people got the money. Then you've got the fact that the money was spent in, you know, in areas that probably didn't do a lot of good. There's no way that the protest permits pay for the cost of the security, pay for the cost of the cleaning of the streets, pay for the cost of the damage that was done from walking on grass or turn over trash cans or whatever, you know? So
right.
It's got to have some logical boundaries. And there, I don't see any. I'm missing it. I'm sorry.
I can't see it either. I mean, they were talking about that the Trump administration was saying, President Trump's administration was saying that they actually protected the grass with covering the mall.
White flag.
And that was one thing. But let me tell you what this man, I think this is what made everybody really go off. He said President Trump tweeted, "Why didn't y'all vote?" He has to tweet the women on Mars.
Well, he's got a point.
Why didn't you vote?
He's got a point.
Why didn't you vote? This is so interesting, y'all. It's interesting. Let me let folks know. You can call in at 516-387-1251, or y'all can join us on the rebroadcast on 1420 at 4-4-292-1420 on Tuesday as well. We're talking with Marlene Dow about the march on the cities, I guess. A whole lot of bathrooms. Whole lot of porta toilets. You know, women was women. All them women. Oh man.
Well, and let me tell you,
this is funny,
but it's a fact. The first sign of an economic development boom for a community is the toilets being flushed. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. If you have an increase, yes, one of the first facts on an economic development boom, something that happened that drove money in your community, is how many times the toilets were flushed. I'm not kidding you. I swear. Because every city monitors how much water goes through a commode. So if there's a sudden increase in flushes of commodes, then the city can kind of get a guess on what their new sales tax base is going to be improved by in 3 months, because that only comes in quarters, every quarter. So flushing a toilet is an exact factor in how much money you can count on was spent in your community with some kind of a new event. And so toilet flushing is huge. It's a very important determinant of how successful an event is for a community. If you have a festival, if you have a college football game or a college basketball game, all of those things generate money to a community because everybody's going to stop and buy gas on the way in or on the way out. Everybody's going to go into that convenience store and buy them a drink or a cup of coffee, some bags, chips, something, and they're going to flush that commode. That's a problem. So, and they're going to stop and eat in one of them restaurants. So that is how communities determine their income for the next quarter of that city or that county or that state. And that is driven economic development money. That's exactly what it's doing. So all of those people who gripe and complain about big corporations that went and participated in a protest just helped the corporations get a little more money. You really have to.
I wonder if they make any money. That's a lot of toilets. We are talking with Marlene Dow, president and founder of National Development
Advisors and Strategies.
She is an honest God-fearing country gal with a lot of education, experience, in life.
And at the end of the day, oh, Marley, I can't help it.
I tell you the truth, it's just an interesting thing, man. It's been very, very good to just have. I've been trying to get people on to talk about this and come off of Facebook and create a systematic footprint. You know, Facebook is cool. It's all right. I'm not saying nothing negative, but it's, you know, we've been talking for the last, you know, 45 minutes. And the good thing about is the fact that somebody put, hey, did anyone keep track of how many Republicans got arrested for violence?
Was that true? I did ask that. I couldn't help it because, you know, the numbers were going to be so overwhelming on the other side. I was praying somebody kept track of that number. But, you know, if it happened, you didn't hear anything about it. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, I'm ashamed to almost say this. That, you know, I'm a Democrat. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm a Democrat. However, I'm not what I call a zombie Democrat.
Hearing a lot of that, too.
And I use my own thinking, and I'm going to look at the person, I'm going to look at the issues, I'm going to look at their track record, and then I'm going to decide where I'm going to stand with them. And I don't care if you're Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, whoever it is, I'm going to make my own opinion. That is why I got an education, so that I could. And so you're going to have to understand, if you're a community party leader, I'm about the last guy you want in your community because of the fact I'm going to encourage other people to do their own research and do their own thinking also. And really, to be honest with you, the healthiest system in the world is at least a two-party system. I am never going to be for getting rid of Republicans, and I'm never going to be for getting rid of Democrats. We need at least two parties. Three parties generally are more healthy for a community in voting opportunities. With that said, though, I don't think one's a demon and one's a god. I don't think one's better than the other. I think there's ugliness on both sides. I don't think anybody can argue with that. Just like, in communities, we have good people in the community and we have bad people in the community. And you can't evaluate the whole community because you met one person out of that community and they were bad, or that one person was good. So with those kind of realizations we have, labels have got to come down, and individuals have got to step up. We've got to step up. And if you're going to protest, and I will be the first one to drive you up there and get your permit, at least have some objectives that are defined and some measurements that you want to see for success at the end of your march. That's all I'm asking for. And I don't think that's too much to ask for. And if you got any sense, you better not look down your nose at me when you start talking about it, because I'm liable to come back at you. So with that said, you know, just use a little bit of reason.
I can feel that one all the way through. I'm just looking at your page. There was a person named Chan Dockery Trippett.
Dockery.
They said pro-choice. Bitching about Trump and that Billy Bush tape when Trump made that P statement, which honestly doesn't offend me. I'm sure most men have done similar things, and even women at some point in life. I'm sick of these protests and ready to get our country back in shape and mend damage that has been done. I like that. I am for that, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
she's also a single mother, and she is a sharp cookie. She's not missing nothing there. I'm thankful, Karima. I think you would agree. We both have a lot of different personalities in our circles. Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
And we don't have anyone, neither one of us have anyone in our circles that are going to just patronize us for the heck of it. They're not going to be condescending to us just because they can. They have an opinion, and the most important thing we can do is empower them to keep having opinions, even if we don't agree with them. That's the most important thing we can do in our society. So, you know, I was telling an African-American girlfriend of mine in Little Rock, she's a Martin Luther King, never preached hatred. He preached love. I said, you're exactly right. And I will be the first one to admit, I have studied Martin Luther King probably than any, more than anyone I know that studies historical figures, just because he's pretty new to the history scene, and he was so unique. With that said, though, I don't think hatred is our enemy. Our enemy is apathy, people who just don't care. I hear people say, well, you know, I don't care. I don't care who wins. Doesn't matter to me. As long as I keep getting my paycheck. Well, you better care, because it's going to have everything to do with how much of your paycheck you're going to get. And if you really want to understand what's going on, you got to start with your next-door neighbor, and then the next block over, and then down at City Hall, and then at the State House, and at the federal level. So,
right.
If you didn't go up,
grassroots.
If you didn't, exactly. If you did not vote, you don't get to gripe. Shut up and go away. If you did vote and you didn't make the choice that won, so what? Get up, try again tomorrow. It's what it's all about.
That's it.
You're not locked in forever.
They got midterm elections. Another gentleman said, James Buck says, he says, I want to support your opinions, Marlene, as I totally agree with you. Too many marginalized truth and follow the lies and deception. This comes after 8 years of evil. It's harder to see what we've become. I'm worried about our younger generation. These protesters are hateful and blinded. I agree completely.
I do too. Yeah. And that's the apathy I'm talking about. I mean, kids now, but think about it. If you go to a restaurant, how many kids are playing on the phone, not interacting with their parents or each other? So if they can't even interact personally at the dinner table, how are they going to take accountability for decisions of government and public service?
Mm-hmm.
They're being marginalized every day.
But
what
do you think about James? You think James feels that he says there's 8 years of evil, and it's harder to see what we've become.
You're going to have people that are going to think Obama was, you know, President Obama was not the right fit. Hey, I had days, I admit, there were days when I thought he wasn't the right fit either. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as call him 8 years of evil. That's a little rough. But, you know,
right.
I got to tell you, I wasn't real crazy about George Bush either. So, you know, I'm serious. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in Saudi, we were driving down the road, and I saw this very beautiful palace. And in Saudi Arabia, you have many providential princes. You'll have, you know, so each little region has its own royalty, so to speak. So when we drove past this really huge, beautiful home, I said, oh, my goodness, Abdullah, whose home is that? What providential prince was there? And he goes, that's George W. Bush's home. I'm telling you, you knocked me over with a feather. Yes, ma'am. And I went, really? So, look, there's not really a good guy and a bad guy here. You don't need a right to call somebody a good guy or a bad guy until you really do enough homework to know whether or not they're good or bad. And I don't see anybody really doing that much homework. I'm the only fool I know that does that much. And I have to do it for my job. So,
absolutely.
Really, it's not as cut and dry as everybody wants it to be. And James saw this as, you know, as 8 years of evil. That's just his opinion. But he's entitled to it, just like everybody else's opinion is, you know, has one that maybe thought Obama was great. You know, it's just six and one, a half dozen the other. It's just one opinion out of a melting pot of a gazillion soup, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. I try to respect everyone's opinion, whether I agree with it or not, they're entitled to that opinion.
Right.
And it goes right back to the First Amendment. That First Amendment is the most important amendment for a reason. It's a reason why it's first. We have to leave the First Amendment alone. We have to, or we're not going to be any different than Russia. I'm sorry, but we're not.
Wow.
So
that's say the R word on this station. That's gonna burn. That people gonna they gonna be protesting again. Now she was saying, let people know. let me make a disclaimer. What she was saying, guys,
was that we need to keep the First Amendment. Not saying we're about to turn it to Russia, but,
no,
but you got to hear things. People hear things in this process.
You can't say those things in China either. You can't say them in Russia. You can only say them in the U.S. Only
absolutely
in the U.S. So we've got to maintain our integrity that has made us the U.S. And while and the only thing I've seen really put the biggest crinkle in the First Amendment is political correctness. I'm not bashing political correctness. I'm just saying it's got its place, but it doesn't hold 2/3 of the cup. It don't even hold 5% of the cup. We've got to get this chip off of our shoulder, including me. I'm Jewish. I've been called everything under the sun. You know, I still got my nickel. Yes, I still got my first nickel. I'm Jewish. I promise you, I got it. Now, get over it. I don't care. You know, so we've got to get past these things. Yes, I know. I mean, I've been laughed at. But seriously, I mean, you look. When African Americans can't even agree on whether or not they should be called African Americans, blacks, or black Americans, how am I as a stranger supposed to know what I'm supposed to address you as? I don't.
Yeah, and that's why people come over here and don't know how to address culture.
And you've
got to
be forbearing. You've got to be forbearing a little bit. Just give us ignorant people a chance to learn. We would never. I don't think anyone is really that evil. They want to go around and say things to hurt people for the heck of it. But
and
I'm sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure.
Missy had something to say. She said, Marlene, I completely respect your views and your right as an American to express them. Even though since I'm a flaming liberal, we're obviously on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. The world needs women like us, so rock on. So I like the fact that Missy agreed to disagree. She did not knock you back. She did not knock her back.
Missy's the attorney for the city of Fayetteville I was telling you about. And we've been friends since we were little kids. And we have never agreed on much. But it does not matter. I would lay down my life in the road for that woman. I'm telling you, you cross her, you got to come through me first. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We have to respect each other. We have to give each other the benefit of a doubt. And if you see someone hurting someone else, you have got to step up and help the lesser of these. Or guess what? When you start getting hurt, nobody's going to step up for you.
The Susan Nemo, she said, peacefully, and I think we talked about this. She says, peacefully protecting our rights and claim to power is neither wrong nor a waste of energy. Like prayer, unity of our purpose and spirit matters. So I guess peaceful protest, like she said, it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
And they picture them standing there, and it's their right. It's the right to express themselves.
Sure.
Right. But then we got the question about where Mickey Matthews says, my question is where were all these women when trash like Madonna, Miley, Beyonce are degrading women on stage and in their videos, great role models for their daughters? Where's the anger for the killing of police officers and the trashing of people's businesses? But now that their weak female candidate was beat by a successful businessman with a beautiful, bright family, then it's time to march. Ooh, he came. Mickey, that's Mickey Matthews. He came with it.
Mickey's a strong, opinionated individual. But now, you got to admit, you might not like what he said. He's got some validation there. I mean, look, I think we know for fact, I can tell you this from being a teacher and a counselor, we know for fact that children brain produce reproduction genes faster when they're exposed to sexual exploitation sooner in life. So if you show a one-year-old X-rated movie, that child will become sexually active much sooner than a child who didn't see X-rated movies under 10. That's a fact. That's a given fact. Now, with that said, think about it. I mean, I can remember 2 years ago when you couldn't even say the word damn on TV, and now then it's, you know, it's quite commonly used. And
yep.
The promiscuity of the female role of reproduction is just more and more broadened every day on national television. And the exposure for that is to little kids who are innocent and can't really take it all in and don't understand it. And their brains are producing these hormones, and they don't know what to do with it. And it becomes a serious conflict in their being. That is what Mickey's talking about with the Miley Cyrus and the Beyonce and the Madonna. It's not that what Madonna and them are doing are not entertaining. Of course it's entertaining, but it's not appropriate entertainment for the average family. That's what he's thinking about. And he's also pointing out that the average woman is not going to reenact the performances of Madonna, Miley Cyrus, or Beyonce. The average woman would not do that. That is definitely something that's exotic, and you're just not going to see it every day. And if you look at it from that perspective, it can be demeaning to a female because I'm intimidated by that. Do you see? I mean, come on, Karima. You know me. I know you. Darling, I don't think either one of us see each other up doing those performances in front of our partners. Do you?
No, absolutely not.
It's intimidating to a female to see those kind of performances. And then the words that they used were, they were disgusting. I mean, they were not words suitable for national television. And the news media caught it, played it back for a lot of people to see on either Facebook or social media or actually on television. With that said, he has a point on that level. It's not held in a standard of simplicity and commonality. And so as a result, why aren't women standing up and saying, I'm comfortable with you doing that on my television in front of my 3-year-old? That's what Mickey's saying.
Right.
And that's a valid point.
Right.
With that,
and I got to deal with that. That's a Marlene. That is a great point made. When you know we're marching again, we're marching, but what's the message? What's the takeaway from this? And I mean, Mickey's a little harsh, but he put it out there. I mean,
yeah.
I personally don't agree with the fact that that Hillary's a weak female because she's not.
No.
You know,
not
Hillary. That I don't agree with that. But and as by right, Mr. Trump is a successful businessman, and
right.
You know, I agree with that part of it. The only part I don't agree with is calling the woman a weak female, because there's no way in the world you can be weak and be married to a Bill Clinton and be a successful woman in Washington and be in New York and then come from the South. So that's the only thing there's a small part that we have to always remember when we agree with our men folks, because a lot of times, you know, they're reacting a little bit more stronger because of the masculinity part. But
right.
I do
right.
know that as women, we do need to conduct ourselves in a way, like you said, that a younger, when you're talking to your 3-year-old or your 5-year-old sits there and sees these things, you got to be able to explain to them what they're seeing. And as well as, like you said earlier, you got these young kids at school talking about they're afraid.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? I mean, this is what we're putting in our youth, in our babies, and it doesn't make any sense. So
everybody, we're listening to Marlene Dow. We have been talking about the march. She's president and founder of the National Development Advisory and Strategy, WAMR on 1420. You guys can call in at 516-387-1251 tonight, or on Tuesday, you can call in at 404-292-1420. You can email us at AtlantaMixRadio@gmail.com, as well as follow us on Facebook and Instagram, WAMRDB. It's been a great evening to just have this conversation. And Marlene, I truly appreciate of your time, because I know you've been back in and out of the country and all. What else are you – I mean, we got about 8 minutes left in the show. What are some of the things that people could probably look to you for assistance as a business, as a person that owns a business? What are some of the expertise in which you services that you that you do for individuals? I know you have a very big perspective, a broader, you know, perspective about different things. But what's on the hit list for 2017? What type of clients are you willing to take in 2017?
Well, I'm actually doing a lot of international work, and I'm actually negotiating peace treaties for third world countries. With oil and gas changing the marketplace, a lot of countries have made their dependence on oil and gas or having to diversify. So I'm getting called to the table to do a lot of negotiations for diversification away from oil and gas into other resources in countries that need to export their products. Another thing that I see happening is, of course, there won't be a lot of national federal government changes going on that I would be participating in the next 6 months. But I would say in the next year, that will definitely load up huge. And so I'll be doing a lot of federal work on workman's comp type work and advisement to communities and insurance companies and federal government. And state government. I write a lot of opinions for workman's comp issues. And then, of course, social issues revolving tax base and tax incentives in the community for new business and industry coming into the community, what it takes to get that new industry into your marketplace, and how to target what you want in that marketplace. If you want to go after a new airplane factory, well, you just don't wake up one day and decide, we're going to go out and try to recruit airplane factories. It takes a lot of structure and planning and organization to get you there. So that's the kind of thing I work on. With that said, I would say that, first of all, I'll just give out my phone number, if that's okay. If anybody wants to call, you can call me at area code 803-379-1246. I'll be glad to discuss with you what you've got going on in your community. See if I can help you, if there's anything I can contribute or send you to someone else who can help you. Karima will tell you that we've done a lot of work for economic development in different communities around the nation together. We've worked together. And she's one of my favorite people to work with, her and her company and her family. So, Karima, I thank you for this opportunity, number one, to just discuss these issues. And number two, I hope your audience is listening. And if you've got conflict or argument, please tell me what it is so that I can – maybe my opinion's skewed and off base. I need to rethink my opinion. And I need you to call me and give me that feedback, or give it to Karima and let her give it to me if you feel better about that. But step up and speak. Do not sit there and keep your tongue. Please speak, so know how to get to the center together and work towards an effort together, rather than just all going fragmented in different ways every day, all the time.
And you guys can follow her on Facebook at Marlene Dow dot Henson on Facebook. Like I said, we're talking with Marlene Dow, an honest, God-fearing country gal with a lot of education experience in life. And, you know, I'm so happy that we were able to touch on these bases. You guys can always listen to this podcast And then going forward, we're hoping to have Marlene. She's closer to me now. I guess you're in South Carolina, North Carolina. Are you in the United
yes.
States? Never know. Okay,
yes.
good.
Yeah, I'm a phone call away. That part worked.
That worked. It absolutely worked.
Yeah.
Tell everybody your number one more time before we get out of here.
Sure. Area code 803-379-1246. And feel free to call me. Even if I'm international and you call me and I can't answer, I will call you back. I promise. I never not return a phone call. I think Karima will attest to that. And don't hesitate to call me anytime, hour, day, or night. I will call you back if I don't answer right then as soon as possible. And I look forward to any feedback anyone has to give me. Thank you, Karima.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're going to get out of here tonight. My sponsor, Loving Care Chiropractic, Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Thank you all for tuning in, and it's also my co-sponsor, CECISSM.com, my sister's company, Janora Bowens. Want to thank her for her constant support. You guys want to buy something online? You guys want to buy something online? You go to www.CECISSM.com. Become an affiliate as well with CECISSM.com. And do not forget now, ladies and gentlemen, that we are at the beginning of the end of the middle around that time for change. And it is time to heal our nation. It is time to mend old wounds and move forward country. No matter what's happening, we must stay focused. Women, we need to talk about economics. We need to talk about being able to be strong women and being able to just be decisive in what we want, opposed to being all over the place. And we need to make sure that we are not getting people involved in our movements that are paid protesters. I am just taken back by that, and that's another show. But, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you guys for listening to WMRDB on 1420 and 1430 here in Atlanta. You all have a great day.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family. Owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083. Or call at 678-884-3777. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine. Listening to WAMRDB on 1420 and 1430 AM. We are a multicultural station bringing you national exposure on WAMRDB and WATB 1420 Atlanta. Me, I'm the next level, and I'll be hosting a show on Tuesday nights. from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tune in and get educated, elevated, and stimulated.